Okay. So so I want to try to wrap up the electricity on the unlimited. Last week what we did was we outlined the theoretical possibilities, but, you know, I really want to start writing already, like, next week. I want to start getting into that process. I know we got delayed because whatever. Hopefully we'll not be delayed. I'm, you know, if I can stick it out another, like, 2 weeks and 6 days, I'll get my second vaccine and get my green passport, and then I'll be whatever. Woohoo! Yeah. It's amazing how organized they are. It's not normal. You just, like, walk. It took me, like, 5 minutes. It was great. So, even though my arm is killing me. So, the, so Rabbi Broyden and Rabbi Jaxer wrote an article years ago on the use of electricity on Shabbat and Yom Tov, where they summarized the main positions. So, I figured we'd look at their summary and look at what they said about Yom Tov, and then look at some of the key postings, because last week, again, we outlined the theory of what you might say, but let's see what postings actually said about electricity on Yom Tov. So, this is their summary, right? Using electrical appliances other than lights during Shabbat. Section 1 addresses the prohibitions associated with the use of electricity to generate heat and light. This section surveys... There he is. The halachic issues involved in the use of electricity when there is no apparent generation of and no intent to create light and heat. The consensus of halachic opinion maintains that it is typically prohibited to turn on electrical appliances on Shabbat. However, a clear understanding has yet to emerge regarding why such a prohibition exists. Indeed, one eminent authority maintains that the use of electrical appliances is only prohibited because of tradition. That's how they understand Rosh Hashanah Zalman Orbach. Seven reasons have been advanced to prohibit the use of electrical appliances on Shabbat. The first six reasons are summarized as follows. One, turning on an appliance is analogous to creating something new, molin, which is prohibited on Shabbat. That was the Beit Yitzchak, the Shmelkis. Two, completion of a circuit is prohibited because it is a form of building, bonem, chazon ish. Three, turning on appliances violates the prohibition of makke v'patish, completing a product, also chazon ish, or in the unique way of understanding makke v'patish, in Moshe Weiss or Buzner. Four, completion of a circuit must kindle sparks, and therefore it's prohibited because it creates a flame. That was Rav Kook. Five, the use of any electrical current leads to increase in fuel consumption of the power station, which is prohibited. Six, which is related to some of these, but I won't dwell on that one too much. Six, what? Briefly, right? I mentioned briefly that, like, the Lubavitch Mordechai talks about this, that you're telling the non-Jews who are at the power plant, right, to increase it. So we didn't spend too much time on it, but yes. This is slightly different. Six, heating of a metal transistor or wire, even though visible light is emitted, is prohibited because of cooking or burning. We talked about this briefly, right, that most people assume that it's burning, which is mavir, which is the Rambam, right? There's some, like the Ravid thinks it's mevashel, at least when there's a metal transistor or wire, right? We talked about this, incandescent light bulbs. These first six bases for prohibiting the use of electrical appliances on Shabbat divide into two groups. The first four relates to the completion of a circuit, which causes current to flow. The final two locate the source of prohibition in running and not turning on the appliance. If each of these prohibitions were to be found inapplicable, then only the following reason would remain, and this is how they understand Rosh Hashanah Zalman Orbach, which is seven. The use of electricity without light or heat is actually permitted, but because observant Jews since the invention of electricity have maintained that it is prohibited to use electrical appliances on Shabbat, and rabbinic authorities approved of this structure, it is prohibited to use such appliances, absent great need because of tradition. Again, it's not clear that's what Rosh Hashanah Zalman means, right? Rosh Hashanah Zalman might mean that it's not in the spirit of Shabbos. He might mean that it's usher, but we don't know why. He might mean that it's usher because he's not really convinced, but he'll treat it as molid, like Rabbi Yisroel Shmelkis. We've seen different things, but this is how they understand Rosh Hashanah Zalman. Each of the six possibilities requires detailed analysis. While it's beyond the scope of the survey to convey the full force, the complete halachic dialogue among the various authorities, an effort has been made to present, along with each opinion, some of the Talmudic proofs and some of the questions raised in opposition to each reason. Okay. So that's the summary, most of which we've seen, one of which we didn't spend too much time on. But then, how does this relate to Yom Tov? So this is their summary of Yom Tov. Electricity and lights on Yom Tov. The use of lights and electricity on Yom Tov differs significantly from that of Shabbat in one key respect. On Shabbat, it is prohibited either to start or increase a flame. However, on Yom Tov, it is permitted to add fuel to an already burning flame. For example, while it is prohibited to light a match on Yom Tov, it is permitted to transfer a flame from one candle to another candle. Thus, it is prohibited on Yom Tov, just like on Shabbat, to turn on an incandescent light, since turning on a light, as explained above, is halachically identical to lighting a match. Unlike Shabbat, however, it is likely that on Yom Tov, this is only rabbinically prohibited, as most authorities maintain that even creating a new flame on Yom Tov is only a rabbinic violation, except maybe the Rambam. As we saw, the Rambam might disagree. So too, it is only rabbinically prohibited to turn off a light on Yom Tov. There are a number of authorities, however, and this is where we transition today, who feel that it is permissible to turn on incandescent lights on Yom Tov. Three distinct reasons have been given to justify this practice. One, turning on a light is only indirectly causing the light to go on. This type of indirect action, grumma, while generally prohibited on Shabbat, is permitted for rabbinically prohibited actions on Yom Tov. Right, so the first, there are some who conceptualize turning on a light not as direct, but as grumma, which on Shabbat is still usher, but on Yom Tov might be mutter. Two, the prohibition to create a new flame is only violated by using wood, flint, or matches, which will not directly contribute to Ochel Nefesh, food for Yom Tov, or which could have been done before Yom Tov began. Neither of these are applicable to creating new light or heat through electricity. Three, turning on an incandescent light actually is the equivalent of only transferring a flame and not creating a new light, as the flame already resides in the wires, if that's how you view electricity. Not clear. A number of rabbinic authorities, including Ratzvi Pesach Frank and Rechiel Michel Epstein, the author of the Aruch HaShulchan, accepted the approach that permitted turning on lights on Yom Tov. However, this is not the approach of most authorities. The consensus of rabbinic authorities maintains that it is prohibited to turn on an incandescent light on Yom Tov. After summarizing all those authorities who discussed this issue and concluding that it is prohibited to turn on lights during Yom Tov, Rav Avi Yosef states, since there are those who permit the lighting of electric lights on Yom Tov, one should not strongly rebuke people who turn on lights on Yom Tov. Specifically, since many congregations in the diaspora have this tradition with the approbation of their rabbis. Nonetheless, it is proper to explain to such people in a mild voice that most rabbinic authorities are strict about this matter, and the law follows the majority, right? So, as I mentioned already last week, it is clearly the majority of folks who don't think you should use electricity, but as Rav Avadya acknowledges, many poskim did not agree with that analysis, and even Rav Avadya, who thinks that on balance it should be usher, says you shouldn't rebuke them strongly, right? Which is basically saying, like, this is within the realm of halachic possibility, of live halachic tradition, right? It's not impossible as a practical halachic reading, it's just not what he prefers. This is supported by the fact that of the six substantive reasons advanced in Part 2 for prohibiting the use of electrical appliances on Shabbat, five are equally applicable to Yom Tov. Thus, each of the authorities discussed in Part 2 who prohibit even electrical appliances without light or heat on Shabbat must maintain that incandescent lights are prohibited on Yom Tov for the same reasons. For example, if switching on a circuit during Shabbat is prohibited because of building, then turning on such a circuit on Yom Tov is also prohibited. It also appears that any authority who permits turning on lights on Yom Tov, except perhaps for those who, based on the indirect causation analysis, must agree with the vision of Rabbi Orbach, that there is no halachic obstacle to using electricity when no light and heat are produced. Authorities who permit turning on lights on Yom Tov must have rejected the reasoning of those who forbid activating a circuit based on the prohibition of building, bone, finishing a product, makavatish, creating a new electrical flow based on molid, creating something new, or creating sparks, as there is no distinction between Shabbat and Yom Tov for these prohibitions. This analysis would add a large number of eminent decisors to the list of those who agree with Rabbi Orbach that electricity used solely as a form of mechanical energy is theoretically permitted on Shabbat and actually permitted in case of great need. Summary. Two distinct approaches have been taken to the use of electricity on Yom Tov. Most authorities maintain it is the accepted practice of observant Jews to treat Yom Tov like Shabbat and not to turn lights on or use electrical appliances on Yom Tov. A minority opinion, the practice of sub-observant Jews allows turning on lights and perhaps other appliances on Yom Tov. All agree that it's prohibited to turn lights off on Yom Tov. Right? So that's, I wanted to put this first simply because the fact that in a English article written for a popular audience, the authors acknowledge that even if you think that on balance it should be usur to use electricity on Yom Tov, that's not the only plausible read, and can say that there are observant Jews who disagree, tells you that despite what most people think, right, this is clearly not an open and shut case, right? There are many positions that are minority positions that are not part of lived tradition. But when, like, pretty mainstream, like, right, Jachter is about as mainstream in terms of what he writes as you get, right? He writes popular, high-level popular halachic literature, like gray matter. That's what he writes, which is meant for, like, an educated laity, right? What he's writing, he knows, is for the average, you know, the average from person, you know, he's not hiding it. He's saying, like, the fact that it even makes it in, and you know, when I was talking to Ray Broyd last year, right, you know, he's the co-author on this article. Yeah, meaning his, you know, he's moved a little bit, and he thinks, on balance, we should probably be more makil than we are. But when you look through the sugya, you understand that it really does make a lot of sense that Yom Tov should be different than Shabbat. Like, it's not crazy. That's why it's a live position. That's why that position emerged again last year with the Zoom Seder, because it's just, it was never really a dead position. So that's really where, right, when I was talking to Ray Broyd last year, right, he said, right, that's really what's missing from this article, right, where this article was focusing on electricity. So, as we talked about last week, from the vantage point of electricity, you could go through some and say, maybe this applies, maybe it doesn't. But the reason that it's much more complicated than even that presents in this article is, this is all basically saying, even if you weren't dealing with the heter of Ochel Nefesh, it's not clear that electricity is equally usher on Yom Tov as it is on Shabbat. But in the theoreticals we talked about last week, yeah, it gets much more complicated, like turning on an electric stove, or, yeah, someone told me, you know, someone emailed me, he's like, well, I think it would be dangerous or impossible to set a microwave on a timer. I'm like, I mean, that may be true. I have no practical opinion on that. It may be true, but as a theoretical. He also thought it was controversial that I said that you obviously can put a dishwasher on a timer for Shabbat. I understand that that's controversial. There are people who don't like it. Very quickly, one of the reasons people don't like it, which is a good reason, I think, is that the dishwasher won't go on if you don't close it. So even if it's on a timer, you are involved. Right, that's why the Shabbat mode ones, which are like common here in Israel, I don't know how much in America, the Shabbat mode, all it does is it turns off the safety. Right, when the Shabbat mode is on, it means that the dishwasher will go on whether or not the door is closed. Right, and therefore you're not doing anything. Right, once you do that, you know, some people don't like it because they think it's ashrei kala. I don't think that's right. Which is, there's an issue to do things which are, like, really, really noisy and draw attention to the fact that you're, like, doing something. Dishwashers are not that noisy. I don't think it goes in that category. Personally, I don't think so. I will use my dishwasher on a timer on the Shabbat mode, because once you remove the problem of the closing of the door, because, you know, the safety's off, you can theoretically, don't try this at home. My father-in-law is an electrical engineer. He said, he thinks that anyone who really knows what they're doing, it shouldn't be hard to make your dishwasher into a Shabbos mode, even if you don't have a Shabbos mode. I mean, it's just a question of cutting the safety. Don't do that at home unless you know what you're doing. I don't want to be responsible for this. Yeah, but in general, we allow you to, right? We don't possibly like Beit Shammai. Right, that's exactly the point, right? So maybe it's Ashrei Kala. Yeah, in general, on balance, I think it's probably fine. I do it myself. I know that some people aren't comfortable, but as long as I have a Shabbos mode, I'll do it myself. I warn people when they're, like, staying at my house, just, you know, that it's going to happen, just because, you know, if they've never seen it, I want them to, like, freak out, either think that, you know, the mild sound, you know, to freak them out, or just to think, like, halachically, what am I doing? Like running a dishwasher, you know. Yeah. Why not?
Yeah.
Why not?
That's why.
Why not? That's why I do it. I run it when I have like a lot of guests. I run it Friday night, Tuesday, Child's morning. Why not?
I don't know. Because that sounds like you're actually doing
the lava. I'm not doing it. I sit on a timer, just like my hot plate.
I know. I don't know
why. What do you mean? Your hot plate, your air conditioning, your lights? Those are all malachot if you did it yourself. What's the problem?
Okay,
assuming you think it's mutter, so then you could use it. Why not?
Like,
if you weren't using it, maybe
oven on a timer?
What?
Maybe your oven on a timer?
No, oven's different. No, oven's different because derabanan, there's a few reasons. First of all, meaning you couldn't put the food in, right? Because then you're cooking, right? Deoraisa, that's not a question, right? If you're putting in the food, right? Just because the oven was on doesn't mean that you aren't cooking it. But if the food was already in, it's derabanan. It's usher, but only derabanan because cooking is a special derabanan. That you're not allowed to, right, insulate in something that's most of hevel. You're not allowed to put something, right, you're not allowed to heat something up unless it's garu fukatum. That's why you need to cover, right, that's why you put a blech on the fire, right? Midoraisa, you need to put a blech on the fire if something's fully cooked. There's a derabanan problem of putting something by the heat source. Right, in certain ways, right? And we try to limit that with a blech, with a hot plate, to get it to the status of garfa katum. But that's a derabanan, which is unique to Bishul.
Right.
Right, right. But it's unique to Bishul.
Like
right.
Washing
your dishes.
Correct. Washing your dishes is not a malacha.
Well, it's heating the water, it's the soap, right?
Yeah.
You know, the like the soap tablets, right, which would be like you're grating them down to, you know, that would be toche, maybe, no, not really, it's not really natural, whatever. Yeah.
So if you put all of
but yeah, like religious people would stand, like that's standard, right, that's how they do it. I don't think in yeshiva, I'm trying to think, when I was in Goshen, I don't think they did it. I don't think they did it.
Okay,
I don't know, I don't think that, but I know that my sister did Garin Sabar, and the kibbutz that, you know, adopted her when she did the army, that's what they did, right? Like, it was this huge, massive, you know, like the industrial-sized ones.
Okay.
You might have, there are certain mukta things you might have to worry about there, right? Because if they were unusable at the beginning of Shabbos, right? Like if they're wet, right? Like if they're, you know, so then, but theoretically, yes, if you could solve, there might be other problems, but yeah, theoretically. Yeah, why not?
I don't know. Like that's why I think that I think because
they were what?
Like if we leave our dryer running over Shabbos, we won't play.
Well, some of them, right. So I know some of the dryers, like, you know, until you open the door, they don't go off, right? I don't know.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I don't know. Like the dishwasher doesn't, right? The dishwasher, once it's off, it's off, and like, fine. Again, the R people don't like it, but I think it's fine. Yeah, so they're on record, but yeah. No, I think it's fine. I don't think it's like, you know, I don't think here's, I haven't really encountered much, you know, some of these things are like, different communities, certain stuff can become accepted. Like, in America, yeah, much less people used it. Could be the Shabbos mode ones are less available, and, you know, if you're closing the door and that's necessary to turn it on, that really is a much bigger problem because you're involved in the process. It won't happen once you close it. But here, it's so common. Like, everyone I know, they have Shabbos mode ones, and if they have a lot of people, they just throw the, you know, they just put the dishwasher on the timer. Like, wasn't even... But in general, I mean, there's a lot of things. Like in America, it's like unheard of for people to have the same dishwasher for milk and meat. In Israel, it's much more standard. Like I won't do it because I really was trained in America, and I also am not sure it's mutter. But it's pretty standard here.
Well,
okay. To be fair, there were two huge names who thought it was mutter. Rav Moshe Feinstein thought it was mutter, and Rav Avadya Yosef thought it was mutter. So Moshe thought you could do it not simultaneously, but you could do the same one, like one after the other. Rav Avadya says maybe theoretically even simultaneously, but definitely one after the other. But like I know, I asked someone on the upper on the Lower East Side to ask about Feinstein's wife, I think, or maybe it was Reuven Feinstein's wife, I don't remember. And she was like, no, who would ever post in that way? I'm like, for Moshe, it's like pretty famous. Like most folks can disagree with Moshe, in America at least. In Israel, it is more standard. I don't know if it's because people are less likely to have two dishwashers, because they have smaller kitchens. I'm not really sure what like led to, I have no idea what's behind it. But here, I think it's much more common. Like, I won't do it. Even though in my dishwasher, I think it's definitely mutter. I think it's definitely mutter. Yeah, meaning because mine, you know, like a lot of dishwashers have a china setting, like a low setting so that you can put like fragile, you know, whatever. If you look on it, you'll see there are different temperatures. So on mine, the fragile setting is 45 degrees Celsius, which is not Yatza Ledebo according to any shita, right? So if it's not Yatza Ledebo, right? So it's definitely mutter. Why would it be usser? Right? Definitely one after the other because it can't trace it up. It can't. The water's not hot enough. Right? It's impossible. Right? Halakhically. What? No. You're right. So I would. So if I use the China setting, I think it would be mutter. No, obviously use the hotter setting would be a problem. But if I use. So like if I put parve things in, like I won't use dairy in mine. Just I don't do it. I think you really could. Right? But like parve, I won't worry about it at all. Because like. Yeah, I'll put it in the, when I put parve, I put it in on the, when I'm doing a delicate cycle. Because this way, it's fine. Because then, it's definitely mutter. It's not like, you know, meaning Ramosha would say it's mutter anyways, right? So would Ramavadi is safe, right? These are Moskin, right? Because of the soap, because of whatever, because there's minimal food, because it's butthole, because, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But with the, you add the temperature, definitely be the evidence, it's fine. Like, it's not going to do anything. Then you don't have to rinse it off. Why? If you pre-rinse it, so it should be mutter according to everybody, right? But when you're doing it on this temperature, it should be fine according to everybody always. Anyways, yeah. When I realized that it was less than Yatza Ledebo, I was like, oh, okay. So this removes the. I still won't use it for dairy. So you can still eat it at my house if you think that like whatever. I really think you could, but I doubt it. Whatever. What? Yeah, I don't think you should use it, milk and meat. I don't like using, I prefer the more machmir position, right? It happens to be that on mine, at that temperature, you really could get away with it, right? But whatever, but the truth is, when do I need it? I need it more on Shabbos, right? Like when I'm having a lot of guests, and you know, it's like, you know, it's a lot of dishes and a lot of pots and pans, like during the week, because most of them are having dairy, you know, it's not as, anyways, fine. So let's look at some of these shitas. So, you know what, maybe for a second, just look, turn to number six, just turn to the end, right? I mentioned this last week, but I just gave you from, right, Aaron Ziegler's halachic positions of Rabbi Soloveitchik, right, of the Rav. He writes this, right? He writes, the Rav Lamaita was lenient. He writes, the Chazon Ish held that illuminating light bulbs in Yom Tov is an issue of bonus, and therefore he ruled that it is absolutely us on Yom Tov. Rabbi Soloveitchik, on the other hand, based upon his understanding of the physics of electricity, felt that illuminating conventional light bulbs was an issue of Havarat Eish, and therefore mutter lechatchila on Yom Tov for a Yom Tov need. Right? Remember we said, if you thought it was molid, it might be a problem, because molid does not on Yom Tov. But if you think that an incandescent light bulb is actually fire, on Yom Tov, that actually makes it more lenient. Right? Because you're allowed to at least spread fire. So as long as you don't view this as the starting of a new fire, it's going to be mutter. And he writes, this opinion was expressed in the 1940s and 1950s, and it was widely accepted in the Boston area where the Rav was the Mar Natra. Things changed, however, in the 1960s, not because the Rav changed his mind in principle, but rather due to the influence of other large Jewish communities like New York and Chicago, where everyone was machmir with electricity on Yom Tov. In the interest of maintaining achdut in the United States, the Rav refrained from publicly expressing his opinion on the matter, and in the 1970s, hardly anyone except for the people of Boston was aware of Rabbi Soloveitchik's lenient ruling on the matter. The stringent opinion of the Chazon Ish prevailed. In a private conversation with his Talmud and Shamash Rav Aaron Adler, the Rav said that he even authored a tshuva on electricity in halacha based upon his understanding of complex issues that would revolutionize our halachic attitudes towards electricity and Shabbat and Yom Tov. He never published this tshuva, right? Which is extremely frustrating. Right? But right? You see that, like, you know, I think electricity on Yom Tov especially is one of these counter histories, right, where you see that it really could have turned out differently, and it was that way, right, not that long ago. It's things like this where I tend to think that you can't be convinced that things won't change in that direction, right? And that's why I wanted to study it, because like I said, we've already talked about how complex the issues are electricity and how the more electricity gets, you know, permeates every aspect of our life everywhere at all times, the more that post-Gim are probably going to end up, you know, the more lenient position might become more dominant among the people who really believe them. I'm not saying that, like, I'm not saying post-Gim are going to be opportunistic. I'm saying that post-Gim thought Mekrigin was mutter, but the minhag was to be machmir or whatever, those post-Gim are more likely to actually embrace the lenient position as being machmir, as the Rav had it here, for the sake of achdus, becomes less plausible, right? And that's why I really do at some level, again, I'm not of the stature where I can make this decision, right? But I can sort of read the sugya enough to see that it wouldn't shock me if things changed. It really wouldn't. And like I said, you saw the first cracks of that last year with the Zoom data where a bunch of Boskim were willing to just say, yes, we are ready to change it, right? We always thought it was mutter. We treated it as usher for whatever political, you know, Jewish political reasons or whatever. But if there's a good reason, you know, a worldwide pandemic that leaves a lot of people lonely on Seder night, if such things happen, right, then we're willing to revisit what we think is the Ikar Halakha, right? So, again, I don't think it's, you know, I don't even think, like, I don't think what I'm saying is even controversial, which is to say that there was another position. There really is another position. It's a quasi-live position, right? And therefore, all it takes is enough pressure for the post-Gim when things really mutter to say, lemaisa, practically, it's mutter. At least in case of Ochel Nefesh, or Shatatak, or whatever. But definitely Ochel Nefesh adds a whole lot layer to it, right? They were talking about the Zoom Seder. But again, right, I think there's even more room to make it if you're talking about food-related things where we have Ochel Nefesh as the primary moving category in Yom Tov. Okay, so that is that. Now let's look at some of the actual, the card actually didn't give you a lot. There's only three sources here after that. I just basically gave you Rav Avadya's tshuva because Rav Avadya, Kedarko Bakodesh, is encyclopedic, right? So he really just gives you, like, this is, right? This is the lay of the land. Oh, at least I wanted you at least to have access to it. But first I gave you two tshuvot from the Chelkas Yaakov. Okay, so I gave four tshuvot. This is source. I also gave this to the Yaakov. Okay, but let's look at this. So Chelkas Yaakov. So that's the Yaakov Breish. He writes, Nish'alti kama pamim imutar ladlik v'yom tov zerem hachashmal, ha-electric, o asr mishum molin. Many people ask me, can I use electric light on Yom Tov? Ya'an, kizum efakvin latir. Mo, because there are those people who say it's mutter, or at least think it might be. So he says, lefiyan ayin niyadati pshita d'asr mishum molin. So he says, I think it's also because of molin. Now that makes sense. Remember we said, specifically, if you think electricity is molin, which is more makil, it's only d'rabbanan, that's going to be the one that's going to make it hard to mutter on Yom Tov, because molin of all things, whatever it means, it is asr on Yom Tov, that we know. And that's his conclusion based on the Tshuva Evin Yikara, right? Sorry, against Evin Yikara. He said, Tshuva Evin Yikara, Shagava Zelatir. He made the mistake of saying it was mutter, Vizel Shano. Kevan Sha'isha Alekri Nolad Be'at something, whatever that is, central maybe. Ayideshim Echachin Sham Maticho Zuzu. And Kevan Meshu Bodega Zabkak, Ba'apanas. Right, the Tshuvot Evin Yikara said, look, electricity is not molded because the electricity is already there. You just need to turn it on. You're just initiating. It's like turning on a faucet. And therefore, it can't be molad. If it's not molad, it's mavir. If it's mavir, it's mutar on Yom Tov. Right? As long as you can get around the molad problem, the initiation of the new fire. And here, Rabbi Yaakov Breit responds, Vishakamod, huge mistake. Ishmael Mad Kamod, such a smart man like him. Lo yada man kuto, the Conan Electric, Masayu. He said, you don't know what electricity is, do you? Kimakam, central engine, call Ishmael. There is no fire just hanging around waiting for you to turn on. That's not how electricity works. Rak Jerema Electric, the Gamja, central Shoveti, the Kimakam, the Goma, Barbe, IRL. Pilachi de Lake Electron, like this is wrong electric, Kanut, Makom Yuchan, Nikra, Echo Malter, Bilaz. I don't know what that is. Vachutin, Kuvran, whatever, right? So he says, look, Rabbi Yaakov Breit says, the people who thought it was Mutter thought that it was Mavir, and therefore it's Mutter, because you're not creating a new flame, it just exists. But he thinks that if it's Molid, then it's Usher, because you're not allowed to create something new. And that's right, but you see the machloket, right? If you don't think it's molin, you think it's actually mavir, it should be mutter. Right? It should be mutter. So that's his first shuva. Second shuva was what is it? Maybe it's mutter because of grama. Maybe you think it is turning on, but the laws of indirect causation are different on Shabbat and Yom Tov. They're more machmir on Shabbat than they are on Yom Tov. So even if it'd be also on Shabbat, it might not be equally prohibited on Yom Tov. So he says, Yavar Chashmal Yeshla Don Rak L'Goreim U'Memela Yeshla Tadid La'atir B'Yom Tov. Is it maybe considered indirect? So it should be Mutter on Yom Tov. So he writes, Ta'anot Ezu Matirinim. Those who are lenient, some of them, they say, Chadada Esh Banas Eno Esh Klal Rachute Barzam L'Bamnim Zelo Mekri Molid. He said, maybe Molid is only when you start a fire. But heating up an electric coil, even if it's halachically fire, is not molid. Right? That's an interesting chiddush. Right? That even if it's considered fire, molid has to be real fire. Right? Like, the way that you heat up an electric coil is not quite new enough. Right? It's not like to fall under molid derabanan. So therefore, and it's considered indirect. And therefore, because of those two reasons, if it's not really create molid, because it, like, there is no moment where it really creates something new in that sense, so then it might be mutter. And even if it's havara, havara is mutter on Yom Tov. And besides, it's indirect. And indirect, grama is more make on Yom Tov than on Shabbat. What's his proof? He says, what's their proof, rather? He writes, V'ra'ya mi-sanhedrin ayin zayin amudbet. Zorak chet to trits biado va'achar v'natlo v'afil kodam hu v'natlo patur. Did the idna the shadi bay mifsek psike gire. The classic case of is in one of the two classic cases. Anyways, is in Sanhedrin Ayin Zayin, where someone throws an arrow, shoots an arrow, and then before it reaches it, someone else takes it, etc. Right, and hits it with a trist, with a shield, right, and then that hits something else. Haray, come on, the masalgat hachizim agir achet, shil yigar shay lav avagav de besiluko ze machshir achet, shayarogo yazik, mikom akom en la masalgat azeh rak din gorim. And he says, sorry, the other case. If you shoot an arrow and the person behind the shield would have been protected and then someone removes the shield, the remover of the shield is still exempt because that's considered indirect. They're just removing, right, the shield. They're not actually doing anything active. So he says, maybe here as well, turning the button is just removing the moneya. Because basically everything is set up. So you're just sort of preventing it from being prevented. Right? That's how some people conceptualize that, and therefore turning it on should be fine. That's the argument. So look at the next paragraph. He says he doesn't like it. He said that's a misunderstanding of electricity. Electricity, you actually do something active by creating a circuit. You don't prevent the prevention of a circuit, you create a circuit, right? And therefore, it's wrong to say that it's indirect. It is direct. Right, the reason that it goes on when you press a button is because you created the circuit. So that's his first argument, which is you can't say that it's hasarat moneya. Right? It's active, not passive. It's not the removal of an obstacle, it's the creation. That's his first argument. But then he says there's another reason, and this is something I think we talked about. I'll say it outside, then we'll look at it, part of it inside. There's two ways of conceptualizing grama, right? This indirect causation. One is Rashi. Rashi says that anything which has a time delay between your action and the performance of the malacha is called grama. The Rama, Ramei Rabbalafia, says no. It's not time delay. It has to be a stage delay, meaning you do something which does something which causes the malacha rather than you do something which causes the malacha. But even if you do it and your action causes the malacha with a time delay, still that's considered direct. Indirect is only if I do something which causes something which does it, then that's considered indirect. So he argues that, you know, even if there's like a time delay on, you know, minuscule, whatever it might be, on the turning on of electric appliance when you turn the switch, so maybe you might entertain, according to Rashi, maybe, that there's some sort of time delay, even though it's not really that delayed. But if you understand, like the Rama, he argues that's considered direct because there's no multiple stages. I press the button, it goes on. That's direct enough. So that's what he writes here in Bet. He says, yeah, that's potential, right? That's exactly what that's presumably grama. That's only meant to rabbanan.
I'm so smart. And then you also have the time delay.
Correct, and that's a lot of the Somat devices function on that. Is they make things from Daraisa to Dirabanan by doing that, right? They you know, that's at least the theory behind it. Is they do certain things with like, yeah, like they'll have it that instead of, you know, pressing the switch and going on. Right, basically, it'll be the, you know, a lot of what they do is they have like a sensor, right, that is constantly checking whether the switch is on, right? So like, every minute it'll check. So what they do is you press the button, right? And then it doesn't go on immediately, right? It goes on whenever the sensor happens to get to it, right? So the argument is that, according to Rashi, it's definitely a time delay, but even according to Rama, what they're arguing is that that's not called direct because it's always checking to see whether the button has been pressed, right? It's just that once you press the button, right, so the next time it does its check, it will discover that the button is, right, meaning it's not just like a one-time press. It'll be like, I don't know, like you, right? It'll like leave something in the whatever, right? They have different devices that work in different ways, but that's exactly the argument, right? That it makes it that there's a stage delay, so it makes it grama, so it makes it only rabbanan, so therefore b'chad tzorech you should be allowed to use it, right? That's basically the right. So they have like these grama buttons on like the. You know, again, that's the halakhic argument mind, unlike the, you've probably seen them, like the, you know, people who look like they're definitely Shomer Shabbos riding around on, like, automated little car things on Shabbos. No? You haven't seen these? There's, like, little Somet, like, they're not even, like, wheelchairs. They're sort of, like, little, you know, for people who can't walk, but like, little cars, right? They're driving around. Or they could look, some of them are, like, wheelchairs like that. No? What? Yeah. So a lot of those have the grama switch, right? That basically they use these Somat things, so that a lot of people rely on that. If you ever go to Somat, they'll tell you this is the sheet that we're relying on. Not everyone agrees. People have different theories, right? But that's the or that's what they do, right? Because they say it's a case in which you can be mekel on, as long as it's only derabanan, you can be mekel because it's shata tzarech and schola and whatever. So the grama, that's exactly the logic behind the, right? Like they'll do it. You guys didn't go to Tzomet? I'm sure you did. No? Maybe 2 years. You did. Okay. So you've seen this. They show, you know, in the, yeah. So, like, they'll do, like, the way they do, like, a doorbell, right? A secure doorbell is, it'll be like this. That basically, they have, like, a light that goes on, like, for 15 seconds every minute, right? Always, right? But once you press the button, right, it basically leaves something in place that tells the tells the microprocessor that next time it goes on to stay on. Right? Right? It basically tells it to keep it going. Right? It's like it's on like a timer. Right? Imagine you had a timer, right? You could do this easily with a timer. It's just it's doing it in increments of seconds rather than hours. Right? If you had a timer, right? So let's say your timer is on for 2 hours for lunch in the morning, right? And then it's off, right? So once it's on, right, if I flick the switches, right, afterwards to keep it on, right, I'm not doing any malach, I'm just keeping in the current state, right? So essentially what you're doing in these, like, things is it's programmed to go on for 15 seconds every minute, right? And by pressing the button, what you're doing is the equivalent of flipping the switches after the light. So you're not turning it on now, you're just telling the computer that once the light's on, keep it on. And then the person who's watching it, right, the security guard, right, when it goes to the, you know, 15 seconds or even it's supposed to go off, and then he sees that it's not off, it stays on, he knows someone had rang the bell, right, and then it's set a normal, you know, like another timer to go off every 5 minutes, right? They do it with light. They'll do it with, sometimes they do it with sound, but most of them will be light because, you know, this way it doesn't disturb anyone, right? And, yeah. Yeah, they just do, it's not, yeah, they have different ones. That's the one they have in the exhibit is a light one. I don't know if they have sound ones. I assume they have sound ones somewhere, but the one they have there is light, and that's their example if you ever go. Okay, so Rav Breisch continues, and he says, look, right, basically, he quotes Rav Chaim Ozer, who says, I'll just say it outside. But you have it here. He basically says, I agree basically with the Yad Ramah. It needs to be a removed action, and pressing a button is not that. Right? A normal pressing a button that makes something happen, that's called direct. Right? That's direct. Okay. Look at source 4. The Tzitz Eliezer. He writes, Haraiti Sharav Lisman, Roselo Marsha Domarak, Luzerak Chet, Utris biado v'halabo meser natris depatra meser. Right? He quotes, just like the Chagat Yaakov, some people who say, look, in the end of the day, it's just grama. It's removing it's hasar moneah. It's removing an obstacle. It's not doing anything direct. And he notes, there were major poskim behind this. He says, right now you find out who it is. Hagvod, Haggaon, Haggaon, twice. Haggaon, Haggaon. Okay? Rebbe Tzvi Pesach Frank. Now, Tzvi Pesach Frank, that's like a huge name when you pull out Tzvi Pesach Frank, right? Who is Tzvi Pesach Frank? See, to you doesn't mean anything. When Post can pull it out, it's really a big deal, right? He was the chief rabbi of Yerushalayim like 80 years ago or something, 100 years ago. He's like a major, major Posek. He wrote that. Demali he said, look, at the end of the day, I don't think there's a difference conceptually between removing Hasarat Moneh, removing something from ending, and just, you know, the way he conceptualized electricity is I'm not creating a circuit. I'm basically reassembling the bridge so that the electrons can flow naturally. Right? That's the way he conceptualizes it. And therefore he says, and he says, definitely turning off a light. Right? He says, you're not being mechabe. He said, that's definitely indirect. Because what are you doing? You're just preventing the electrons from continuing to come. Right? You're just preventing the electrons from continuing to come. No, because midrabanan. Right? Grama is aser midrabanan on Shabbat. So for Tzorech, we allow it. Because when you have a real need or a medical need, so then we try to do things with derabanan. So if they're right, so it would be derabanan. But on Yom Tov, right, it might be motzo lechatchila. Now, if you look again, I'm not saying that this is the way you should paskin. You see that the Sicilian is going to reject it, but these aren't like minority. These aren't like small names on that side. So there, in the next paragraph, the Sicilian says, "Ufini adati nira." He said, look, I don't think this is indirect. Because removing the shield when someone shot an arrow, you didn't shoot the arrow, someone else did, you just removed the shield. But here, how can you say that? You press the button. You allow the electrons to come. Like, he just said, I don't buy this. I don't buy it, right? I think it is direct. Let me... But skip all the way down to Yud. So he says, okay, I don't think it's indirect. But then he says, Ela she'inyan hadlakat chashmal b'yom tov. But what about lighting it on Yom Tov? Nir ufi anidaiti, she'ish makom l'den b'zilahatir b'tzad acher. He said, look, I don't think it's mutter because of grama. But I do think it might be mutter. Again, Sitzel Yezer. This is like major Haredi posek died not so long ago. Died 2006. Right? Postake of Shari Tzedek Hospital, de facto postake of Shari Tzedek Hospital, not official, but de facto, right, wrote 20 volumes of Tshuvot, right, is like the leading authority on medical halacha, right? We're talking big names. He says, yeah, might be mutter. Because he says, look, even if you think it's molid, and even if you think that, he says, I don't really think it's molid. I don't think it's molid. Why? Because maybe molid, even if you think that turning on an incandescent light bulb is fire, he doesn't think that turning on it is the derabanan of molid. Because maybe molid is only when I create something from sparks with, you know, rubbing wood together or stones together or flints. Avlagrom lahalada, kmo benina chashmaz lachzol kaftor, af shegorim chibor letzim afalada zeram yad. He said, it's true. He said, I don't think it's indirect that you're turning on the electricity. You're pressing a button. But that's in terms of the malacha. But in terms of the derabanan of molid, he says, but you're still not lighting the fire. You're like allowing the electricity to come. So if the electricity is performing a malacha, so then it would be aser. But I don't think it's molid because you're not directly creating the fire. You're just allowing the electricity to go. So on Shabbat, it doesn't help you. Because on Shabbat, the problem isn't molid. What's the problem? Mavir. The fire. But on Yom Tov, you're allowed to do mavir, you just can't light a new flame. But he said, okay, but if it's a fire, but turning on a switch is not the same as lighting something from a match, so then it's mavir without molid. That's exactly what's mutter on Yom Tov. And therefore, the Sicilian said, yeah, you know what? I think it might be mutter. It might be mutter. And that's how he leaves it. Right? Meaning he says, he's not sure, but he says, yeah, you know, I think it might be mutter. Right, so here you have Rishi Beza Frank, I think it's mutter, Rabbi Soloveitchik thought it was mutter, Cecilia Ezer thought it might be mutter, right? These are not like, right, these are pretty major names in Israel, in America, modern, right? There's even like, okay. Then I just gave you in five, and I'm not going to read through all of it, but I just gave it so you can have it. Rav Avadia Yosef. So Rav Avadia attests to the fact that, and I also want you to notice, you get America, you get Israel, you have Ashkenazim, and now you're going to have Sephardim. Rav Avadia says, "Bevoipo Mitzrayim reiti nogim lahadlik chashmal b'yom l'gumatayim b'chol." When he moved to Egypt, right, he spent some time in Egypt, people used electricity on Yom Tov like they did on a weekday. Period. That's what they did. So I looked into it. Do I have to protest or not? Or do they have room to rely on? So again, I'm gonna go through it and summarize it outside, but I just want you to have it inside. So he says, first of all, section Aleph. He says, okay, we know that you're not allowed to create new fire. That's Molad. Right? And we noted that that's true even on Yom Tov. And we talked about that. Now, why is it? So he says, either Midrabanan, or possibly, remember we saw that the Taz sort of according to the Rambam, Molad on Yom Tov is actually Doraisa. Right? Because it's not, you're allowed to do Ochel Nefesh, but only, but you can't create something new for Ochel Nefesh. That was the Taz. Right? That the Rambam actually thought it was biblically prohibited if you could prepare it before Yom Tov. But, so he, as we've noted before, he says, that seems to be wrong. Right? Most posts can assume that even creating a new fire is at best Aser Midira Banan, and they reject that understanding of the Rambam. Right, that's point one. Okay? That's what he says in Aleph. In section Bet, he notes that people, once people are machmir, they're machmir even through a non-Jew. But he's not sure that that's true. He thinks that because it's Simchat Yom Tov, and it's Dirabanan to begin with, so it might be Shvut to Shvut B'Makom Mitzvah. So he says, look, I think there's definitely room to be Mekil with a non-Jew on Yom Tov, because it's a double Dirabanan, because telling a guy to do it is Dirabanan, and at best, turning on the electricity here is only Dirabanan because it's Molid. And if you're doing it for Simchat Yom Tov, so Shvut to Shvut B'Makom Mitzvah, so then he said, okay, that I'm willing to do. Fine. Then the next section, Gimel, he notes that not everyone agrees. Skip the Dalit, okay? Umeata nashuv l'nidon didon. Let's get back to the main point. He says, Kinei ra'iti l'rav agon marad atrein marab ben Shim'on. V'shut umatzor dvash. Sheherech hirchiv l'atir adlaka nerechash mal b'yom. So he said, I know that the local rabbi, the local gadol, he really thought electric lights were mutar on Yom Tov. What was his main reason? Because he believed that the electricity was just hanging out in the wires. And that's what we saw already in the Evan Yikara. And he notes that many people held this way, right? Rav Uziel holds this way. I chose not to give you Rav Uziel's tshuva, but Rav Uziel, who was the first Sephardi chief rabbi of Israel, right? We're talking big names, right? Who thought that this was the case. He doesn't like it. Look at section Hey. He says, "Ulam b'emet ein divrei rabbanim al mechuvarim l'dina." He said, "I don't think that's right." Ukvar tapsu alehem b'zeh kama mechav regedol izmanenu. As many people have already pointed out, and we've seen, because the electricity isn't just sitting in the wires. Right? And therefore they think that that's just a misunderstanding of the reality. And therefore they think it might be, it might in fact be Molad. And Molad, as we saw, is Mutar and Yom Tov. But then he notes that Rav Avadya, that the Sitzelia is there. Even though he rejected this understanding, wasn't sure, because he said, maybe it is Mutter for other reasons. Okay. Then he goes, if you skip to Yudalit, he reads, Nehadar Antin L'Nidon. Let's go back to it again. Shemachavim Shemachavim Shemachonim Yudolei Amechavim Shebedor Roteinu Sheneishim Tzavchudei Chashmal. Once you say that fire isn't hiding in the wires, V'ein Shem Elezerem V'Koch Ba'alma, it's only there in potential, V'meila Shaper Chashim Molad. So then you should think it's Molad. And yet, he said, but the Sitzeliezer said, even if you think the wires aren't there, maybe it's not Molad. Right? As we saw, why wouldn't it be Molad? Because he said, maybe Molad is only when you create something from a spark. But maybe, even if you think turning on electric light is a new fire, it's still not a new type of fire that needs Molad. And therefore, it's only Mavir. And if it's only Mavir, so then on Yom Tov, at least, it's Mutter. So then let's go to his last two paragraphs. In Ted Bob, he says, Ulam. He said, look, in the end of the day, I hear both sides. Ma na'ase, but what can I do? Upashad aminak bo mitzrayim. Gam bin acharei dim l'dvar Hashem. Ha'atei lochet chashmal b'yom tov. He said, look, as much as I want to be machmir, because I don't love the svaras to be mekil, he attests to the fact that in Egypt, when he lived there, not so long ago, everybody used electricity on Yom Tov. That was the minhag. Alpio Rava Gon Mori Da'atre, Mora Ben Shimon. Chen Kosev, Yedidia Rava Gon, Rav Talidano, Bishut Yam Gadol, Shein Minhag Gudu Zrayim. Many people attest to this. And he said, not just the laity. He said, people told me that's what all the rabbis did. All the rabbis in Egypt took it as a given you could use electricity on Yom Tov. He said, Rav Avadya says, personally, I think it's because they didn't really understand electricity. Because they thought the electricity was hanging out in the wires, which it's not. And if they really understood electricity, it wouldn't be lenient. And therefore, he says, normally the minhag is wrong, even against the rabbanan, you should yesh levatel haminhag. Etc. And he says, therefore, I would say that it's aser. But then, 5 lines from the bottom of this paragraph, he says, "Al kol panim biyochi is achron mekilim nidamitam grama." But he says, "But at the end of the day, there were other poskim who didn't make the same mistake, who understood that electricity doesn't sit in the wires, and they still thought it was mutter." Tzitzeliezer, Rishi Bezek Frank, Avol bishaker lachmir. He says, even though personally, Rav Avadya thinks you should be machmir. If that's the minhag, don't protest too much. But I paskin for anyone who cares. Anyone who listens to me, they shouldn't be lenient. And then, watch how he hedges. I tell people to be machmir, especially if there's no pressing need to be mekel. Right, so you see, even Rav Avadya, who says he thinks it should be machmir, what does he mean? He's like, well, on balance, I think it should be usher. So if there's no real reason to be mekel, so why be mekel? And why does he think there's no pressing need? Because most people have non-Jewish workers around who can do it anyways. And he said you could rely on a non-Jew to do it. And I already said you could use a non-Jew even to light a real fire. So therefore, ideally, what you do is you get your non-Jewish maid to do it for you. I mean, what does that tell you? That even Rav Avadya says you're machmir, how convinced is he that it's usher? He's like, look, if it's easy to be mekil, so you're machmir, so be machmir. Because you have another option. Hamura mikal amur, so usher ladik kashma al biyomdav. What emerges is that it's usher. Abo mutzal, I mean, look, ladik, we can tell a non-Jew to light it or turn it off. Sorry, but not to turn it off. And not like those who are machmir, or mekel rather. He said you could have them turn it on, but not off, for reasons, right, it's not the same tzaret, etc. But I think what you see pretty clearly is that this was a live machloket, and what is, right? Meaning, in the end of the day, when you look at it, for all the reasons that we've talked about, yes, there were people who thought it was usher, but the Rav, Tzitzeliezer, Tzivezek Frank, said, look, it's not molid, either because they misunderstood some of them and said the electricity in the wires, or Tzitzeliezer said, nah, even if it is, you know, fire, it's not really molid. Or people thought it was grumma, because they thought for these purposes of indirect. Plus, you add all the Ochel Nefesh stuff to it, there's good reason to think it's mutter, and even Rav Avadya says it's usher, he's like, it's usher, but like if people do it, don't protest too much. And I tell people to be machmir if it's not too hard to be machmir. Right? It's that type of language that tells you that, you know, as much as I think the average person in the street thinks that, oh, electricity is obviously usher on Shabbos and Yom Tov, when you actually read the Chuvot, I think it's a fair assessment to say that there is a consensus of all poskim, basically in the world, that electricity, for one reason or the other, should not be used on Shabbat. But I think that's pretty fair. That pretty much, with the exception of like Rabbi Rabinovich, in the cases where he's mekil, most people, I think on Shabbat, for one reason or another, machmir. But suddenly, when it comes to Yom Tov, for all the Ochel Nefesh reasons, and all the limitations on Havara is mutter, Molid is usher, but Havara is not, and Grumma, all different types, plus the Ochel Nefesh thing, suddenly you see major poskim, right? Ravaya attests to the fact this was the minhag in Mitzrayim. Rashi Pesach Frank was the Pesach Yerushalayim is going to be Mekel. The Rav was apparently Mekel for decades, and that was the minhag in Boston. The Rashi Siliyazer is willing to be Mekel under certain circumstances. Right? You realize that when it comes to electricity, on Yom Tov, the question is so much more complicated. Right? It's so much more complicated. And already in Shuvot like Ravadia, where he says, well, I tell people to be machmer unless there's not such a Torah, I think it's that type of opinion that led to what we saw last year with the Zoom Seders, where people said, look, normally we would tell you to be machmer, but guess what? If you think that really it's mutter and you shouldn't be makil unless you really need to, now we really need to. Now we need to reassess. And I think that, you know, on Shabbat, the postkin have doubled down and saying it's Asura. On Yom Tov, you see a lot more flexibility when you actually bother reading the Tshuvot. And these are, again, these aren't like side postkin, like second-rate postkin. These are like major, major postkin. And, you know, the more we've understood the sugya, I think the more it makes sense that Yom Tov is going to be much more complicated to conclusively just say, oh, yeah, it's obviously problematic, in a way that on Shabbat, I think that really is the consensus. Okay.